On this week's DevOps for Mobile episode, we talk about signing your applications and versioning your applications inside of Azure DevOps. Welcome back, everyone, to another installment of DevOps for Mobile Development. I'm James Montemagno.
I'm Abel Wang.
If you don't know, this is my best friend in the entire world.
Thank you so much. So happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad to be back. Now, we had already done a lot of episodes on what's DevOps, kind of opening, talking about App Center, and also kind of introduction to like super simple continuous integration with Azure DevOps as well.
Right.
But there's a lot more.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, to go. So this episode, I thought what we would do is talk about something that I think a lot of developers don't think about early in development becomes really important for kind of the DevOps cycle, which is signing your application and versioning your application.
This makes me super happy because in the web world where I come from, I don't know anything about this stuff. So I've been trying to figure it out. I'm not having much luck. So help me out, man.
Yeah, and that's the thing is like when you come from the web backend, you're like, well, the versioning, I'm just kind of having builds and I'm pushing files up. You don't really have to think about a version of your app. Or how do you sign your web app? You took the files and you put them over there, right?
Right.
Have you done like desktop development in the past?
I have, yes.
So you're probably aware like even when you go to build and ship a desktop app, you sign it, right?
Yeah.
But it's kind of like built in a way. Mobile development is a little bit different because we're doing iOS and Android development and we're talking to Google and Apple.
Right.
And there's different security implications there that each of them have set up, which means you have to go through a little bit of hoops and ladders to actually go through.
Man, I can't wait to see this.
All right, cool. So let's first start with signing a package.
Okay.
You know, when you generate an Android or iOS app, you generate something on Android called an APK, which is an Android package, and on iOS it's an IPA, which stands for like an iOS app package. I think that's what it stands for, going with it.
Good enough. And
if you just generate those today, you won't be able to install those on devices.
Okay.
Because, like, how does certificates work in your mind today? Like, any certificate of signing anything, like a DLL or any package?
Not like mobile for sure.
Yeah.
Because none of the stuff I'm doing is working right now.
I mean,
so you have a cert, right? If I'm in, well, I just don't get how these certs work with mobile at all.
Yeah.
Like I said, none of the stuff I'm doing is working out. So. Go ahead.
Yeah, so you think about, I guess, like a cert that you have. You're right. There's a cert. You think of HTTPS, right? SSL cert.
Yeah.
There's a trusted identity, like DigiCert or something like that.
Yeah.
And then you upload that or maybe using Cloudflare or something like that. And those become the trusted, I know that this person is serving me these files.
Yeah.
But on mobile, your files could get installed from various amounts of places. I could plug in this phone and load an application. I could go to multiple Android app stores and download an application. So that's why both Google and Apple have their own signing certificate authorities. Apple's is very, we are the signing certificate, we are everything.
Sure.
And we'll talk about the intricacies there. For Google and Android, it's different because Android applications can be shipped to any device, regardless if it has Google Play on it or not. So you can install something from Amazon, right? The Amazon App Store. You might be on a Fire device.
Yep.
You might ship to somewhere in China that's a different App Store, for instance. So that's why Google signing certificates are very different.
Okay.
And we'll walk through those. So here's our pipeline today. So, so far, remember, we had set up just a simple let's build. We're not signing anything, just smoke test. Like, does it work in general? Same thing for iOS. We restored some NuGets, we just said build it,
compile it,
done.
Yep. Right?
So we're not actually building any packages first. So what we'll do is we'll start with Android over here. And the first thing that we're gonna do is we were building a debug before for our configuration. So over in our variables, we can now toggle that to release. So we're gonna go into release mode, and when you put your apps into release mode, it's gonna go through our linker and optimizer and full packaging.
Okay.
To build the app package.
Okay.
So that'll be fine. And in fact, we literally have to do nothing else inside here. By default, create app package was checked for us. That's going to generate an APK. But we need to then sign the APK and something called zip align. Let's first start with signing the APK.
Okay.
So we have this Android package, and when we go into Azure DevOps, it's going to ask us for a key store file, password, alias, and a bunch of other stuff.
Okay.
So a key store is kind of your certificate.
Okay.
Yeah. So you got to generate one.
So this task here, this is just from the list of default tasks.
Yeah, this is built in.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is built in, comes with, this task works with any Android application.
Okay.
Because an APK could be a Java app, it could be a Kotlin app, it could be a Xamarin app. It's mm-hmm. literally what you're going to submit.
Yeah.
So this packaging tool is actually part of just Java tools.
Okay.
So it's outside of the Xamarin ecosystem 100%. So all right. Just packaging.
Okay.
Now we do some nice things though. So mm-hmm. over in Visual Studio, we actually allow you to create your APK, create your key store, sign your package, and even distribute your app. But it's not really DevOps-y, right?
Right.
But we have some really nice things inside of here. Mm-hmm. So in the Android app, I've set it to release, so okay. debug and release. Mm-hmm. And what ends up kicking in there is when you go into your application, in this release mode, I turn off the shared runtime. I can set up different code shrinkers, different linker settings.
Got it.
Hey, this is my final app that I'm going to deliver. Mm-hmm. But I created an app package, and I did that by right-clicking and say archive. Mm-hmm. And what's nice about that is this gives you a package that you could distribute, but what I like is that when you go through the distribution phase, mm-hmm. you can say, I want to go ad hoc, so put it to disk or Google Play. Mm-hmm. And the nice thing is when you say ad hoc, it allows you to create a key store right here and export it.
Okay.
Because key stores are just generated by you. You are son of this the authority, mm-hmm. and you have to use that same key store forever.
Okay.
Forever, right? So don't lose it because you can't regenerate it.
Got it.
So we can go in and we can create a new one. Mm-hmm. And this is just a bunch of default information. So there's an alias and there's a password in here. So I can say like the Xamarin show mm-hmm. and I can put Xamarin as the password. Mm-hmm. Put it whatever you want. Definitely remember it. Mm-hmm. And then this is just information about your company. So I'll say like MS, Seattle, WA, then US.
Okay.
And these are all things that are required for a key store. Mm-hmm. And I say create, and what is happening inside the IDE is it's calling the Java tools to create one. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Okay.
So now I have one, mm-hmm. and what's cool is that I can double click on it. This will give me a bunch of information about that key store, mm-hmm. but I can also say view in Finder.
Cool.
And then there's my key store.
Nice.
So then I could take that, I could copy it, I could put it right onto my desktop. Mm-hmm. Put that in OneDrive, probably. Put that into Key Vault, maybe.
Right.
Put that. If you lose that file, you can never update your app ever again.
Got it.
That's kind of scary.
It's very scary.
So don't lose that. The nice thing, though, is that we're going to be putting this key store mm-hmm. into Azure DevOps.
Cool.
Yeah. So that's the first part. So let's start with Android. Now, what's cool here is the key store has this little configure button. Mm-hmm. So I can browse for that file
and just drag and drop it on there.
Now, I've done that ahead of time because I was making sure yesterday that everything was working good.
Yeah.
And I literally created the same key store here.
So how secure is this to upload your key store to Azure DevOps?
So from my understanding, this is going into the key vault, into the safe secure, and it's scoped to this pipeline.
Okay.
So this is, you know, the secure model of using any secure file, basically.
Got it. So it is secure and only this pipeline can get access to that key store.
That is correct, yeah. So I have that in there, and then we can just start to fill in the password. Mm-hmm. Now, I could just type in Xamarin, which is what I typed in, but maybe I'll use a variable. So here I have two variables that are secure, keystore mm-hmm. password and P12 password. I'll talk about that in a second.
Okay.
But here, what we'll do is, for the password, we'll do pound keystore password. Oop. The alias is what we set up with Xamarin show,
okay.
and then password.
Got it.
Cool. Now, one thing about Android applications is mm-hmm. that they have to be zip-aligned, mm-hmm. and zip-align takes everything that's in the package and does something. I don't know what it does, except for it's required, so you basically always have to do it.
Fair enough.
And we've just signed our application.
Is that simple?
It's that simple.
Well, is the iOS one more complex?
That is correct. Right. So we start with easy, okay?
Because I started with iOS and never made it here. I was like, I could have figured this out.
Could have figured that out, right? So here's what happens in the world of Apple, mm-hmm. is that you have to create your signing certificates mm-hmm. On a Mac,
yeah.
and you have to do a dance back and forth with Apple to say, I've created a cert, here's my cert, now give me a P12 security file mm-hmm. that I will be using to sign my applications.
Okay.
Now, on top of that, though, what Apple does is they have this thing called a provisioning profile.
Okay.
Now, the provisioning profile is a file that tells Apple what the application name is and any of the other requirements that are in it. Maybe it uses CloudKit or push notifications.
Mm-hmm.
And that is tied together with the signing certificate.
Okay.
And those profiles expire every year.
Oh, lovely.
So you have to regen them every year. Now, I've done this ahead of time, but I want to show you the Apple portal because this does change. So, of course, you know, there's some different things. But when you sign up for a developer program, you're going to need to give Apple some money.
Mm-hmm.
So $99 a year,
mm-hmm.
or if you're an enterprise, $300 a year. And that will allow you to create certificates and publish to the App Store.
Okay.
So there's two parts here. One is this App Store Connect,
mm-hmm.
and one is the certificates and identifiers. And that's what we're going to go into today.
Okay.
So over on the left-hand side, we have certificate, identifiers, devices, profiles, keys, more. Lots of stuff.
Right.
Now you're thinking, wow, Android was really easy.
Right.
So let's talk about certificates first.
Okay.
So this is, you can think of them as the key store.
Mm-hmm.
In general, this is something that comes from the keychain. It's a signing certificate in general.
Mm-hmm.
And inside of here, you're going to see that there are multiple layers in here. So there's iOS distribution, iOS development, Mac Store installation, a bunch of things.
Okay.
But if you go and create a new one,
mm-hmm.
you need to have a certificate for development and for distribution into the App Store.
Okay.
So I think of it as, here's my dev cert, here's my prod cert.
Got it.
Apple does this so, you know, there's an extra layer of security there. So mm-hmm. if something happens to your dev cert, well, your production cert's still okay.
Got it.
So I've created one here. Now, mm-hmm. how that goes through, I'm not going to go into details, but I'll put in the show notes a link to the documentation.
Mm-hmm.
You go to your Mac. You say, give me a cert, you upload that to Apple, they create this, and you download a file.
All right.
So here, if I went into development, I could actually download this cert mm-hmm. to my disk.
Okay.
That's step one. Now, step two is, unlike Android, where I could use that key store for multiple things,
mm-hmm.
I have to create a provisioning profile for every single app identifier.
Got it.
So
okay. That
you
makes sense.
Actually have to create and tell Apple, hey, this is the name of my app, basically. Mm-hmm. Here's my identifier. So I created one earlier, and this can be found, actually, if I go into the iOS project. There's this thing called an info plist,
mm-hmm.
and my bundle identifier is there.
Okay.
So your app knows what its bundle identifier is,
mm-hmm.
and over here, we need to specify the identifier. So down over here somewhere, I created, let's see, com dot, and they all kind of have this like weird naming, com dot, let's see, I guess I can search. I think I just put in company. There we go. Hello DevOps, com, yes. company name, hello DevOps.
Yeah.
You may not want to use company name, but it's going to be your company.
Right.
But what's nice is this, you're going to tell it different capabilities. So you're going to tell it, like, I want to use app groups or class kit or home kit or health kit, things that are specific
okay.
for this app.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So a little bit beyond what this show is going to do, but have you done like videos of just doing all of this stuff
By itself? The documentation will walk you literally step by step by step. And this one's really easy too. When you say new identifier,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of stuff in here, but in general, it's an app ID. You fill out what platforms you want, what you want your bundle to be. You can do wildcards, mm-hmm. so you can say for everything, which we don't recommend usually. Because you might have different capabilities for different apps, and then mm-hmm. it generates one for you.
Okay.
Now, the last part is profiles. Now, profile, these are the ones that expire every year, and you can see one's expired.
Mm-hmm.
But here, what I've done ahead of time is I've created a developer and a production certificate. Profile.
Profile, yeah.
One that matches the dev certificate, one that matches the production certificate, both matching the app identifier.
Got it.
So,
yep.
And in here, when I go into profiles, we'll see that there's a lot of options. So there's like iOS app development, or maybe mm-hmm. there's app store distribution.
Okay.
If you're an enterprise user, there's another thing called in-house.
Mm-hmm.
And what in-house lets you do is distribute your app to all of your users at your company
mm-hmm.
without having to worry about the devices that they're on.
Okay.
Traditionally, with Apple, when you create a development cert, you have to register every device that you want to deploy that on. It's very strict.
Yep.
Or Google, you just email that APK around, don't matter. Doesn't matter. They're pretty loosey-goosey on it.
Okay.
So here, I can just generate one. I can say continue, use a pick your app identifier. Here's the Hello DevOps.
Got it.
I say these are the certs that I want to use. You can have multiple because there might be multiple signing authorities. Then you can say what devices you want it to be on. And then I can continue and then give it a name. You get a cert. So what ends up happening is over on my desktop is if I go to my DevOps folder, it starts to look a little bit like this, where I have like a single key store. Mm-hmm. That's great, looking good, right?
Yep.
And then here I have, you know, my P12 certs, which come from my computer, which is what Apple gave me for their certificate. Then I have the mobile provisioning profiles, and then I have the cert that I actually sent, you know, things. So I actually have a OneDrive folder with all these different values in it.
Wow, okay.
A lot of things. So just to remember, though, there's dev, there's prod, you have certs, and you have profiles for each.
Profiles, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the part that I got stuck on. Yeah. Right? I got stuck on trying to create my certs and my profiles and whatever, but Apple got my $99.
They did get your $99. They'll gladly take it. So what's nice is Azure DevOps makes this super simple to do for iOS because we're using the hosted Mac, so we haven't installed our cert. We haven't installed profiles. But what's cool is that over here, there's a step that's built right in, and there's two of them. I'm going to go ahead and enable these. One's called Install an Apple Certificate, and one's called Install an Apple Provisioning Profile.
Cool. Okay.
So over here, again, you could just drag and drop. This is the P12. This is a file that was exported from your Mac.
Yep.
Because usually you sign stuff on your Mac, but now I'm going to say this Mac can sign stuff. So here I'm going to say my certificate dev. Now, like every good developer, I have also created a P12 password, which I generated. So we'll put that in for the password, and we'll say P12 password here. There we go.
Okay.
And then we can tell it to use a temporary keychain. So this is a temporary keychain. It's not the system keychain. It's specific to the process here, and then it gets blown away.
Perfect.
Same thing here. Install a provisioning profile. And now you can see that. You can also, if you put this in your source repo, you could say this is in my repo. Do I recommend checking these into your repo? Probably not. But you could if you're internal enterprise. Yeah, don't do that. So here again, I'm going to go ahead and select my dev provisioning profile. And here you can even see remove profile after build. So it removes everything automatically.
Very nice.
And now we have now signed, done everything, provisioned our application, and now we can start a build.
Awesome. Looks easy when you do it.
Looks easy when I do it. But I actually just realized that I forgot one important step, Abel.
What's that?
So remember over on Android, when I built it, it already had create app package.
Yep.
We should also tell our iOS step
right.
to create an app package. Boom. Now, I do want to point out here that there's the iOS simulator, create app package. That's what we want here. If I leave these blank, we can see signing. What this will say is use what's ever in the solution.
Yeah.
So over in the solution for the iOS project, it's going to look for a developer and just any profile. So the build system is smart enough to say, hey, I know what the name of this application is. Go try to match the provisioning profiles.
Okay.
So now, when I come back, now that we have this set up, I can leave that blank and I can say save, queue, run, and it's good to go.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very, very cool.
Yeah. So this will go off. It's going to sign it. And why this is important is because in the next version, we talk about UI testing or talk about distribution. If we don't sign stuff, we can't distribute it.
Right.
And that's what's important.
Okay.
So this is going to go off and do some stuff, but let me do one more thing while that's happening, because I talked about versioning. Additionally, when you release to the App Store, things have to have different versions.
Yeah.
How do you version things?
How do I version? Yeah. In the .NET world, I just scan through, find the right assembly info file, and I just inject whatever version that I need, right? And I keep count somewhere, and hooray for that. That's not how you do it in the mobile world, is it?
It's not how you do it in the mobile world. That's correct. And both iOS and Android are completely different.
Fantastic.
So over on iOS, there's this info plist that I've talked about. This is actually just an XML file, and we give you a nice visual tree here.
Okay.
There's a version, which is the publicly visible one, and then also a build number.
Got it.
Now, usually they're the same, but mm-hmm. I like to make this a unique number, mm-hmm. and this is okay to be a unique number.
Okay.
Version is usually 1.0, 1.2, 1.4.
Got it. Yep.
Over on Android, though, it's a little bit different. If I go into my application, manifest, mm-hmm. there is also a version number and version name.
Okay.
Now, these happen to be in reverse order, but a version number has to be an integer. It has to be an ever-increasing number.
Got it. Yep.
So 1, the next version will be 2, et cetera, et cetera. Version name, publicly visible.
Okay.
These live in different files, and also they don't live in an assembly version. Okay. They're literally part of the packaging process mm-hmm. that go into these files.
Okay.
So they do live in XMLs, so you could magically figure out stuff. Mm-hmm. But Abel, I have a surprise for you. I created a mobile app tasks extension for Azure DevOps.
Nice.
That does all your versioning for you.
So I don't have to figure out what PowerShells do I need to Google to figure out how to just inject it really quickly and dirty. Just bam.
Correct.
I can just use your task.
You can just use my task. And it's super nice. So I've brought that in. I've just installed it into my app. So if I go in and I just say version, we'll see that I have, there's the version assemblies. That's what you use.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But I have iOS bundle versioning and Android manifest bundling
version.
Cool.
Okay.
So I just add that task, and we're going to do that before the build.
Uh-huh.
Super simple. Here it's going
to
say.
Do you need to point it to the right file, or does it figure it out?
It would be cool if it was smart enough to figure it out. But okay. I'm going to go ahead and tell it to
find the right file. Manifest file. All right.
So here inside the Android app, there's properties, and it lives in an XML file.
Cool.
Boom. So in here, we have a few options. Mm-hmm. You can use your predefined number. So mm-hmm. you can just hard code it to always be a number. You can also use a Unix timestamp in seconds. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's cool. And I default it to be a little smart for version code and version name to be the build ID.
Got it. Yep.
A build ID in Azure DevOps is always increasing.
Right.
So I say, why not?
Yep.
And then here I do 1.0 build ID, whatever. Mm-hmm. Some developers like to use this thing. This date number format,
Yep.
Also an option. Mm-hmm. It's just a string at the end of the day.
Got it.
The only difference, though, is that if you put dots in here or other things, remember that this version code has to be an integer.
Okay.
It can't have a dot in it.
So it's not too different from my desktop apps or my web apps. Mm-hmm. Just a little bit. All right.
Just a little bit. iOS, it's going to be very, it's because I made it look the same. That's why I made
it.
Nice. Yeah. So here, if I go over here, again, and type in version,
okay,
and I type iOS version number, here we're going to do the same exact thing. It needs an info plist. Mm-hmm. We go in here into our iOS project, and here is our info plist number.
Cool.
And here what I do is I set the same numbers, and you can even set an offset. Mm-hmm. So an offset means, let's say you already submitted an app with version 1, mm-hmm. and your build ID is version 1. You could say, bump it by 5.
Oh.
So it has this offset on your mm-hmm. ever-increasing number. And that's it. You have the same options, so user-defined time code. I like to be the same because I want my iOS and Android version numbers to match.
Got it.
And then we have basically just created, signed, packaged, and versioned our iOS and Android applications.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. So over here, these are finished. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, we'll see that we'll have signed stuff, we'll get a package. And if I go into my artifacts, mm-hmm. now when I go into my drop folder, we're going to see that I have an APK file that's all set up for me 100% and an app file mm-hmm. over here too in the drop. I haven't set up the drop yet in here,
okay.
but we'll now see that. And if these agents start up, we'll actually get to see the packaging and versioning of this in real time. Mm-hmm. One thing I did inside of this extension is that as it's going, it will go ahead and tell you the version numbers that occur here. So let's see if anything of, here we go, bump version numbers. So here it's going to give you the actual, the file in here, and we can see 1.0 and 1.0.
Cool.
And then down here, I run everything, and now it's 1.0.9.2, and the version is 9.9.2.8.
Cool.
Which is very cool.
Yep.
So you can, of course, change that, whatever you like to do, but now, it'll even tell you before and after, and that's a debug setting that you can turn on and off.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool. Nice. So that's just in the App Store. Anybody can just download and start using?
Yeah. So that APK cool. is going to be signed.
Okay.
Now, for Android, it's good to go. We're mm-hmm. not going to ever have to sign that application ever again.
Yeah.
For iOS, when we get to App Store distribution, we'll come back and we'll change over to those production certs.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Does that mean we have to go through the whole? I guess you will show me, right?
I'll
hold off on the questions then because that's all sorts of warning bells are going off right now.
Yeah, so we'll tell you in our CI and distribution part of the series of how to now take that file for iOS and then swap it over to do that.
Cool. Yeah.
You can find more about everything that you've seen here by going to aka.ms/DevOps for mobile. Abel, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I like that you ask the hard questions and come in, because I always just think about this, like it's just second nature to me, but it's tricky.
It's true, especially for someone just starting out.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
So awesome, we'll be back with our next episode on unit testing and UI testing, so tune in to more DevOps for mobile.